In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This morning, we hear of a great sign which occurs in the village of Sychar. It's not a sign like we might expect during this Epiphany season, but it is for us a great sign nonetheless. For this morning, we see our Lord and Savior, the God of all creation, is tired and thirsty. I don't think there's anyone here who can't imagine what Jesus was feeling like that morning. After all, who hasn't gone home after a long day's work, drenched, exhausted, and only wanting to rest for a little while and have a drink? And maybe because this is so common, maybe because what Jesus was doing there is so mundane, we would quickly rather pass over it. We'd want to get to the more exciting parts of the text, the rebuke of adultery, the lessons on worship, the call to evangelize. Yet it is precisely because Jesus is here, the God who was made flesh, who became man, who experiences the same things we do, that we rejoice this morning. For our Lord's actions are important for precisely this reason, that the one who is tired and thirsty came for us, who also are tired and thirsty, to refresh us and enable us to refresh others. And we see this first of all because the one who came, the one who condescended to be man, didn't simply go through this life holding his nose, tiptoeing through the mud puddles of life, wanting to avoid as much as possible. Instead, he dove right in and got himself dirty in this pigsty which we endure. He endured the heat from the sun. If we were here in Indiana, he'd be enduring the cold of the winter, the aches and pains of the muscles. He endured the small problems which we encounter every day. Because as boring and mundane as these problems are, as common as they occur, we need to know that the one who endured all did so to redeem all. And so we, who find ourselves also going through this mundane life, afflicted by such problems, by the stubbed toes, the smashed fingers, the need to shovel sidewalks in the snow, for us he came, and for us he gives us life. And in our text today we see how he does this, as he explains it through his actions and through his words. For he doesn't just sit at that well, but there's interaction with the people for whom he came, and specifically the Samaritan woman, who comes to him. And as is typical of our Lord, as is typical of his word, he holds before her first the fact that without him, without Christ, she is helpless and hopeless. He does this by presenting before her her duty. For as he sits there, tired and thirsty, he is there as the one who is the neighbor in need, the one whom we are called upon to love even as ourselves, the one whom we are called upon to give water. And yet when he asks for a drink, how does she react? How does she respond to this duty of hers? As we all know, she made excuses. She said, "Why should I bother? In fact, why should I even interact with you? I'm a Samaritan and you're a Jew. I'm a woman, you're a man." And probably in the back of her mind, she's also thinking, "I'm tired and hot as well. It's the middle of the day, I just want to finish my task. I don't have time for you. There's other things I could be about." How often it is the same with us. We too, when we are given the opportunity to share with our neighbors, to help those in need, we come up with excuses not to. There's so much other things we could be doing, so many more exciting tasks, so much more we should be about, that we don't have time to spend with the elderly lady in the nursing home, sharing with her the Word of God. We don't have time to help at home clean up after the child who is sick, because we have other more important tasks. We need to study the scriptures. We need to prepare for sermons. And it's not that these tasks are not important, but isn't it true that there can be times in our times when we become so monastic in our views that we cloister ourselves behind books, behind tasks, that we don't have time to help our neighbor in need, to love our Lord with all our hearts, soul, and mind. But even as our Lord holds up this mirror to the woman and to us, He doesn't condemn us. He doesn't forsake us. When the lady responded as she did, His response was one we would not necessarily expect. He says instead, "If you knew who I was, if you knew how I were, you would be asking me for the gift of life, for the water which quenches all thirst." And He proclaimed to her that He was the Messiah, the one who had come into this world, to this mundane and boring, uneventful world, for us who lead those uneventful lives, to refresh us when we are trapped in sin. And so it is. As the Word proclaimed His Word and revealed to her that He was the Lamb of God, His Spirit created in her faith and trust and hope in Him. And that water, that fountain of everlasting life, bubbled up inside of her, refreshed her, washed away her sins, and granted her life. And so it was, refreshed with a salutary gift, that she was now empowered to do that which she before had avoided. And as we know in the continuation of the text, she ran to her village, proclaimed to them that here was one who knew all that she had done. Here is one who is the Christ. And she in turn refreshed others with those words of salvation. She in turn brought them to Jesus so that He would proclaim to them and grant unto them faith and salvation. So too it is with us. For we also have Christ coming to us in, albeit mundane and uneventful manners, in simple words which are proclaimed, and bread and wine laid upon an altar. But in these mundane items, in this simple created matter, our Lord deigns to dwell and grants us life and salvation, His body and blood as a heavenly feast to refresh us and nourish us. And by His Spirit, He creates in us the same fountain of everlasting life. Trust and hope in Him. He refreshes us, washes away our sins, and enables us to also serve our neighbor. Yes, my friends, our Lord has come specifically for us, to grant us life, to quench our thirst. And so it is, refreshed from the salutary gift of His, we serve Him and trust in Him, and we are enabled to fervently serve one another in love. Let us go forth and refresh others with the same gift of life, sharing with them the gospel of our Lord, refreshing them, quenching their thirst, and bringing them into our Lord's fold, where He will create in faith in them and bring them to everlasting life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.